Welcome back to another edition of This Week in College Football, brought to you by CFB Talk Daily. Today is Tuesday, February 26th. This is the fifth episode, and we're going to actually keep starting with the followers' questions. We've got a lot of them to get to this week, so we're going to start with those, and then we're going to jump into our Big Ten East review. We're going to split the Big Ten up into divisions. So let's just first get to our followers' questions, and then we'll follow it up with the preview.
All right, so
start one of like 7,000 questions from one of our good friends, Mike Lind. He shot us a text last night with all these questions. So, John, I'll read the first question to you. You can give me a good, quick answer. Right. He wants to know who will start at quarterback for Penn State this year.
All right, cool. I was making sure this is the order we were going into. Although Tommy Stevens is a fifth-year senior, I don't think he'll start. I think redshirt sophomore Sean Clifford is a better passer. I mean, he did good. He's actually completed the longest pass in Penn State school history, which I don't know if you knew that.
Mm-hmm. No,
he did. I think he starts. I don't think Tommy Stevens will ever see significant playing time at Penn State.
Yeah, no, I mean, I get to that in our review, but I think the same thing. I think I see the same guy starting. It just makes more sense to me. I've seen a lot of people like Taquan Robertson.
All right, Robertson. Yeah.
But I just think for a freshman to walk in and start at Penn State, that'd be pretty tough.
I think Robertson has a better chance of playing than Tommy Stevens. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah, I think his play style fits more into that offense, too, with the way that they've ran it the last couple years.
Yeah, he's pretty good. All right, so who will start? The other question is, how will Penn State move on from Miles Sanders and Saquon Barkley?
I think this year my suspected starter for them would be Journey Brown.
Really?
Yeah, kid's fast as lightning. I think it'll be I don't see him because of his size being much of a power back. Like, I feel like Barkley was kind of like a power back kind of guy because he was built, but he also had speed. But I like to see Brown run in that offense just because of how godly fast he is.
I have a different opinion. I think that Noah Kane, it was a top 100 recruit in the country, is coming in as a 4-star running back. I think him and Devin Ford wound up splitting carries at Penn State. So I think that's two freshmen who I see getting the majority of the carries.
Sorry, this is the first non-Penn State question. Are expectations going to be high for Jalen Hurts after the season Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield just had, meaning now that he's at Oklahoma following in their shoes?
You want me to answer this one?
Yeah, you start us off.
I think the expectations at quarterback are always high for Oklahoma. I mean, if you look at, they brought in Spencer Rattler, number one quarterback in the country. So I think if they're bringing in Jalen Hurts, they have to think that he's going to be better than him for at least a year. So I think the coaching staff's expectations have to be extremely high for him.
I just think that, like, in general, I think anywhere that Hurts would have went, the expectations would be high just because, you know, he's shown in his pedigree that he is a great college quarterback. So I think the expectations would be high if he went to, you know, Rutgers, or if he went anywhere, he would have high expectations because of the history he's had in his time at Alabama.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of people are going to say he's not a great passer, but this year he got much better as a passer. So I think in, like, that offense where Lincoln Riley, he'll get him out of the pocket and stuff, he'll be dangerous.
Dude, he threw really well against
Georgia. Yeah, is
that when
he came in, midway?
Yeah, when he basically saved the whole state of Alabama. Like, that, the one, like, I remember I was with you when he came in, and I was like, this is, it's over because they don't have enough time.
Oh, yeah,
he
doesn't throw the ball well enough.
And he actually just, like, dropped bombs on everyone. He was like, yeah, I'm just going to be a great passing quarterback now because I feel like it. So I think his expectations would be extremely high anywhere he went, not just because
of I agree. All right. So the next question is, how does Trevor Lawrence follow up his national championship game?
I suspect that Clemson, again, will run the ACC. I like Lawrence a lot. I like his size. I like his ability. I like his arm. I think he probably has the closest to an NFL arm that is in college football right now. Especially last year, I think he had the best arm in college football. I think he had the truest NFL arm. Just, I mean, even in the championship game, there were a lot of throws he made where I think they were more great catches than great throws, but throughout the season, I think he made a lot of great throws that were like NFL throws by an 18-year-old kid.
Just as a freshman, he's already a national champion, the MVP of the national championship game, ACC Rookie of the Year. You know, like, I think he ends up winning a Heisman, probably first-team All-American, and I'd probably say another national championship.
Yeah, I think good chances, especially because he's not like that. I'm not gonna say it's easy because you do have teams in the ACC that are sneaky and like love to just beat really good teams like week nine. But the ACC is not,
SEC. There's probably only like three good ACC teams right now, and Florida State's not one of them. I'd probably say Syracuse, Miami, because Miami has a lot of talent they just brought in. We'll get to that in a different episode, and probably. Maybe Virginia or Boston College, but that's about it.
Like, for the longest time, like, playing Georgia Tech was a pain because the option. Now, what are they, you know, are they going to veer off from the option with new staff? Are they going to stay with it?
I mean,
I don't know.
The ACC is the king of the conference of average teams. It's everyone. Yeah. It's Clemson, and then average teams.
I'd say that's a good assessment.
Right. So, the next question.
Next question. We're heading down to the SEC now. Does Alabama's expectations change now that Tua is the leader of the
change
team?
Change to what?
Yeah, I actually just simply put in my notes, no, Alabama is still Alabama, and Saban is still Saban.
If it was me or you at quarterback, they'd still be national championship. Like, they'd probably be a top 25 team.
I was actually just about to say that. They could put either one of us under center, and we would run the table. Saban could have anyone behind, under center, and they're still going to be a top 10, and they're still going to probably win the SEC if the quarterback has some ability. I mean, really, he could take any Division I quarterback, honestly, and turn them into, like, a powerhouse.
No, I agree.
So, next question. Do you think Rutgers will poorly spend its share of the Big Ten revenue?
Right, so I feel strongly about this. I was actually talking to Ald about this last night. Rutgers declined to have their big – they pushed back when they get their full share of Big Ten revenue. So they're not even going to see it for another few years, which kind of stinks. But they're upgrading the locker rooms. They're building that new facility. So I don't think they'll poorly spend it because I don't really know how you could poorly spend money. I guess I don't know.
I don't follow how much money they're putting out, I guess, closely as some people do. But I do know that last year, just on the football program, not in, like, revenue, like, not in, like, conference revenue, that they spent more money than they brought in just via football program, I think by, like, $2 million or $3 million more. And, like, so you never – I feel like you can't really predict that because I don't know what they spent it on. It might have been great things. It might have just been stupid things. There's no way you spend $98 million of stupid things.
So you didn't do your research.
I didn't, like, look to see, like, what they built with all the millions of dollars. But,
well, like, here's the thing. Like, I know, like, they the new locker rooms. I don't know if you saw the renderings of that, like, how it's supposed to look. It's supposed to be, like, very nice. Like, similar to, like, Texas A&M, how it's, like, a very nice facility. But they got a donation for it. It's, like, they're not even spending, like, their own money on it.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know. I think that's, like, it's a tough question for me because I don't, like, look into the revenues and how they're spending their monies, which I probably should.
Yeah, you probably should have the question, but I got you.
Just in general, I probably should just have an idea on what they're doing. Fun fact, I'm not sure if you knew this, but I think Rutgers is one of the only schools where 10% of your tuition is put into the athletic program.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I'd be pissed.
Yeah, I'd be pretty pissed too if I'm not an athlete. All right, so the next question is, what will it take for Stanford to get back to its glory?
I mean, for me, like last year they were 9-4, and like I feel like Stanford's always pretty good.
Yeah.
But next year, they have like their non-conference schedule next year isn't easy. Like they play Northwestern, who won the Big Ten West, and then they play UCF, UCF's like everyone. That's going to be a fun game, actually. And they play Notre Dame. And for as much as I hate Notre Dame, it's still like Notre Dame and Stanford. Like, it's always like
that
a great game.
That could be
game.
Three losses
so,
at a conference.
Yeah. like very well could be three losses, or like if you win two of them, now you're looking at like what 10-2.
Yeah.
Like I feel like Stanford is like always good. Like I would never want to play Stanford.
Yeah.
Ever. Like a very good. They're well coached. There's a really good football team that I would not want to play if I was an opposing team.
Well, my thing with Stanford is it's just so hard for them because last year they only offered 74 kids out of high school because they don't offer kids who they know can't get into the school. Mm-hmm. So, like, they have such, like, their academics are so, like, hard. Like, they have such a limited pool of players. Like, there's only, like most of, like, the top 100 probably can't get into Stanford.
Yeah, and like yeah, they're one of those schools that like when people rip on like schools for like kids not taking like academics seriously, like those Stanford kids, one, Stanford graduates most all their kids, and two, they are like all very, very smart kids. Like you don't see many like communication majors at Stanford playing football. Like a lot of them are like serious majors, like some engineers, some of them, like they're all smart kids.
Yeah, like medical stuff, yeah.
Yeah, like they're an academic first school, and it shows.
Yeah. All right. So then, now that we're done with the Mike Lynn special,
yeah, those are all Mike Lynn questions, by the way.
Adrian Menjarez Jr. said, "Which incoming freshman will make the most impact?" Now, I don't think he means just for Texas. I know he's a Texas fan, but I took that as like throughout the country.
Yeah, that's what I did too. So I hope he didn't mean Texas guy.
All right. Well. All right. So you want to go first?
Yeah. So. In my, it's actually, I'm hitting into the Big Ten here. And one of my points for Michigan was, you know, they do have to replace a couple secondary guys.
I know where you're going.
But I think that Daxton Hill walking on campus.
There you go.
Can prove himself as an elite secondary guy. So I think that if he does turn into an elite secondary guy, that is a huge impact. I mean, an elite secondary guy would be a huge impact on any team. But I think he would be a huge difference maker on the Michigan team.
Yeah, I think even bigger than that is like when Dax Hill flipped from he flipped to Alabama, then flipped back to Michigan. But when that happened, Alabama ended up pulling a 4-star safety, Jordan Battle, away from Ohio State. So I think Dax Hill, Michigan gained a 5-star safety and ended up making Ohio State lose one, which
yeah,
that's even better for them. But yeah, Dax Hill he's very, very good. For me, I have two.
I thought you were going to have the same one. I was going to say that's actually crazy.
No, we didn't. I have two. So I'll start with Wandale Robinson. He's a 4-star running back. He was committed to Kentucky for a while, but he ended up flipping to Nebraska. And I feel like he is going to be like that first guy that Scott Frost like builds an offense around. And then the other one is a 5-star defensive end, Kayvon Thibodeau. You know, just going to slide right into that Oregon defensive line.
I was going to do him, but I figured that you would because you're the huge Oregon fan, so I was like, I'm going to let John have him.
Yeah, I did do that one. I mean, he's probably going to start. Oregon needs defensive linemen. Was the number one player in the country. All right, so how do you see Miami and Ohio State being this season? You can go first.
Also, I'm going to have to by the time we're done with the questions, we're going to be all done with my Big Ten East preview. Oh, my gosh. But I actually predict Ohio State to win the Big Ten in Day's first year. And for Miami, I think Miami has a pretty good year. I think they play well in ACC play. I'm going to save more prediction for when we get to the ACC. So I don't want to go too far into it.
Yeah. All right. So what I'll say for these, I'll pass on the Ohio State thing until we get to them. But for Miami, I think bringing in Jalen Phillips, the number one overall player from 2016, is huge for Manny Diaz. And also, he's brought in, like, I think 8 transfers since he got hired. So they're going to be good. They're going to be better right away, especially if Tate Martell is eligible.
Yeah, since he left, took another job, and then quit and came.
Shout out to Tate Martell's sister.
7 hours. I don't know what you just said about Tate Martell's sister, but that's all I heard.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Is Michigan worth the hype? So I guess, like, are they, like, do you believe in Michigan this year?
This is literally what I wrote. Michigan is always a good team who can never perform in big games.
Yeah, I agree.
And I mean, I stand by that.
They just
– I will continue by that until I get proven wrong.
I would just say that Michigan can't beat Ohio State ever, really.
Yeah, that's their biggest game.
Yeah, and they can never win it. They always lose. And Ryan Day, I mean, he was the offensive coordinator this year, and Michigan act like they've never seen a crossing route in their life.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about that a while ago, but yeah, that's the only thing with them.
So right. We have, from our friends at Opening Drive, who are the top five QBs coming into the NFL this year, and who's an underrated quarterback?
You can start with your top five just to see who you got, because I think we might have something similar.
All right, so I've got Daniel Jones from Duke, Drew Locke, Kyler Murray. All of the other ones I have it written down. Give me a second. It should be right here. I just gotta scroll up real quick. Will Greer and Haskins. There we go. I couldn't think of Haskins for a second. So I would say Haskins is probably one, then Murray, Jones, Greer, then Locke, but also maybe Gardner Minshew. I think Minshew is probably the most slept on guy for the underrated quarterback, because he plays in like that kind of pass happy offense that the NFL is like going towards.
So interestingly enough, I believe that I've misread that question, because I thought it was top five quarterbacks in this year still in college, which actually is where I kind of get two questions out of it. So I'll just give my top five who I thought was in quarterback now with the underrated. I mean, it's kind of like, because my top five for the guys in draft would have been the same as yours. But so
all right,
my top five now, I started, this is in no order, but I kind of have Herbert at the top of my list just because he's like pretty proven guy.
Yeah.
So I go.
He's number one. You could say it's cool. Well,
I go Herbert, Tua, Lawrence, Fromm, and Ethan. But I might, like, if I was ranking them, I'd probably put Lawrence right under Herbert, like a hair under him. And the only,
just I'd probably put him tied.
Yeah, I might even give Lawrence like that bump. So actually, I went all the way in. I actually did the underrated quarterback as well. And early in the year, loved his offense, the way the offense runs through him. Cole McDonald of Hawaii is, I just love watching him play.
Yeah, I actually had a note about Cole McDonald right here. This is his second year. He's a sophomore, and he threw for 4,000 yards, 37 touchdowns, and 10 interceptions, which is kind of ridiculous. Like,
yeah, I mean, yeah.
I mean, he plays in a poop conference, but
yeah, but he also plays at like 1 a.m, so it's hard for anyone to really watch him.
Yeah, that's true. So he fits the underrated bill pretty good, I think.
Yeah, he's like the like perfect underrated guy.
Who do you have for combine freaks?
So, mine instead of like stand, like I guess this kind of would be a standout, but for me, what's going to stand out is the Kyler Murray's 40 time.
Think so? Because
I'm interested, like, because if he runs like I know he's blazing fast, but say he runs a 4.5, like that's a huge difference from, didn't Lamar Jackson run a 4.3?
Yeah, Lamar Jackson is fast.
At least, like, Lamar Jackson ran a 4.3, and, like, I feel like a 4.5 isn't the kind of speed that you can build an offense runs around like that. Like,
yeah.
Blazing fast in college, but when you get to the NFL, I feel like a lot of those linemen run, like, 4.56s, and, like, they're a step behind you, but not far enough that they're going to get you.
Yeah, you have, like, it's not even like a second, like they're close enough.
Yeah. 4.34. Like that's blazing fast. That's running back speed.
So for me, it would be a Bauer or running back, Jalen Hurd. See, he played one season at Tennessee where he was a running, he was a receiver at Bauer. Sorry. He played one season at Tennessee as a, three seasons at Tennessee as a running back. And he's 6'4, 217 pounds. And then he transferred to Baylor and became their leading receiver this year with 946 yards and 7 touchdowns. He runs a 4.45 lasered. He has a 37.5-inch vertical and ran a 3.8 in his 20-yard shuttle. So in the last 13 years, only Brandon Cooks is the only player faster to run a 20-yard pro shuttle. So I think that at 6'4", and he's been a running back, he has that like vision, you know, to get like, if he can cut back and stuff, I think he'll be very impressive at the combine.
Just talking about Baylor made me think of Sean Oakman. Do you remember him?
Yeah, you know what happened to him, right?
I know he's playing in Canada or something.
He got arrested for like sexual assault, I think, with the whole Bauer thing.
That'll do it. That'll definitely drop your draft stock.
Yeah. All right. So next question is from Nick Principe, who goes to Stephen Hall University. What will it take for LSU to get over the hump and beat Alabama?
99 yards and, you know, any kind of touchdown, actually. Any kind of points.
Any kind of points. Yeah, see, here's my thing with LSU, right? Is like, talent-wise, they're one of the programs that isn't far behind in talent of Alabama. Like, if you look across the board, they're probably not that much of like a talent difference with Alabama. But Alabama has Nick Saban. LSU has Coach O. But LSU just needs to introduce the forward pass to their offense. Like,
yeah, that'd definitely be a good idea.
Like, they need to join this century. Because if you think about it, they always have a good run game, but they don't throw the ball. Like,
and they also, like, I can't think of the last time they had, like, a really, really good quarterback. Like, Barrow's good, but I'm talking, like, Heisman candidate quarterback.
And they should, because they have good quarterbacks on the roster. Like, I know last year a lot of them, they had quarterback Justin McMillan transferred to Tulane, and he did great. So I think maybe it's just, like, something with their coaching staff. I don't know. But I think Miles Brennan will be pretty good once he gets playing time.
Mm-hmm.
But good enough to beat Alabama? I don't know.
So, we're going to jump right into the Big Ten East. In the description, I'll put timestamps for, you know, if you want to listen to a specific team and you don't want to listen to all these other teams, I'll put them underneath. So, feel free to jump forward to your team. So, John, we'll do them in the order that you sent them over.
So, you start with Ohio State, right?
Yeah, I'll start them up with Ohio State.
All right.
2009 preview. Nice. Yeah, we're going back in time. But 2019 preview. A lot of time last year, a lot of people, especially when Bosa went down, said that their defense was kind of like a hole on that team. I don't know why they did, but so they have a new defensive staff coming in, which, you know, could fill that hole, make them, I guess, more of a solid defensive team. We got Mike Yurich is coming in as a passing game and a quarterback coach. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of good because they lose Haskins. So Fields is going to be under like a new quarterback coach. So it's going to be a new quarterback coach. Mm-hmm. Fun fact, this was the first time since 2010 that Ohio State is not a top 10 recruiting class in the country. And that's, I use 24/7, their recruiting.
Yeah, 247, yep.
Also, the first time since 2010 they're not the number one class in the Big Ten.
All right.
And I'm going to round them up with my prediction for the record this year. I have them at 12-1. I have them losing to Northwestern at Northwestern just because I feel like Northwestern's always a tricky team.
Mm-hmm. Or it's because they always go for a fourth down and stuff. They're very weird. But
yeah, and but they, I think they win the Big Ten.
Okay, I also think they win the Big Ten. I have them beating FAU, beating Cincinnati, beating Indiana, beating Miami of Ohio, beating Nebraska, beating Michigan State, beating Northwestern, beating Wisconsin, beating Maryland, beating Rutgers, losing to Penn State.
Where is that game?
It's at the Shoe. That
game I was up in the air about, and the only reason I took Ohio, not the only reason, but one of the reasons I took Ohio State is because of where that game is.
I think that's the one game they lose. If they lose the game, that's the game they lose. So I could either see them going undefeated. I think they beat Michigan. Maybe the only two games I could really see them losing are Penn State and Michigan, maybe that Northwestern game. But I don't think any of the other games on their schedule. Wisconsin can't throw the ball, so
I don't know. There's something about Northwestern at night, like playing at Northwestern at night games there. It's like teams struggle for some reason.
No, I agree. And they also got grad transfer Jonah Jackson from Rutgers is going to be a starting guard. So their offensive line's not going to be as bad as I thought it was going to be. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Ryan Day does.
So let's actually talk about that team up north.
All right.
Michigan, you start this one off.
All right. Well, my biggest thing this year is this going to be the year that Harbaugh beats his rivals. So I have them beating Middle Tennessee, beating Army, beating Wisconsin, beating Rutgers, losing to Iowa, beating Illinois, beating Penn State, beating Notre Dame, beating Maryland, beating Michigan State, beating Indiana, and beating Ohio State, which gives them two losses. I could also see them losing to Notre Dame and Michigan and Penn State, though. So I could see them having potentially four losses this year.
See, I had them, I guess I'll go backwards. I had them 10-2.
All right.
We both had them losing to Ohio State, but I think that they could lose to Wisconsin.
Really?
Because, I mean, I'm not 1,000% now that I'm looking at it, right? Like, not looking at the schedule. But I want to say that that game is at Camp Randall.
It is.
And like, Camp Randall's, like, not an easy place to play.
No, it's not.
I mean, like, and, like, I'm pretty sure that's, like, late. Is that late in the year or is that early in the year?
That's the third game of the season.
That's pretty awesome. I mean, like, night game at Camp Randall, like, that place is bumping. And, yeah, I know Michigan plays in one of the best home field advantages in the country, but, like, it's not your home field, and so you don't have home field advantage.
Wisconsin has Jonathan Taylor. They're going to run it down your throat the entire game.
Yeah. And, I mean, one thing about Michigan is, though, like, a couple things. Like, they have Jeff Gattis coming in from Bama to run the offense. There's Sean Nua, maybe how you pronounce it. He's coming in from Arizona State. This year, they may have the best receiving corps in the country with Tariq Black coming back, Nico Collins, and Donovan Peoples-Jones all coming back.
Yeah, Donovan Peoples-Jones is filthy. I don't know if you've ever watched him. Like,
but they will have to fill the shoes of Higdon.
Yeah, Caron Higdon.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, it's like, for as great as a receiving corps you have him back, you're also losing one of the better backs in the country.
That's true, and they had their backup, Kareem Walker, transferred, so they don't have
to. So, and then, like, they had the number one class in the Big Ten, and we talked about Dax Hill earlier. I actually wrote down that he is a reflip because he, like, flipped back.
Uh-huh.
So, that was obviously the biggest for them. So, yeah, so I had him 10-2. With that loss to Ohio State.
All right.
Yeah, want to add or you want to move on into Penn State?
The only thing I have for, I already said, for Michigan thing, I had Harbaugh's teams against his rivals. So I think we're good.
All right. So let's jump into Penn State. I'll run Penn State down real quick.
All right, cool.
So, you know, the new coaching change, they got Gerard Parker coming in from Duke to do the wide receiver.
He follows us on Twitter.
Does he really?
Yeah, he does.
Shout out to Rob Parker if you're listening to this. But, you know, you lose your running back and two offensive linemen to the draft. That's never an easy thing to fill up. Also, you're losing Trace McSwirley, which is very, very hard to fill because he was a staple in the program for a couple of years. We talked about their quarterback position earlier.
And their running back.
Starting. Yeah, so we hit both those. They had the number two class in the Big Ten. And for my predicted record for them, I have them at 9-3.
Mm-hmm.
Losses to Iowa, Michigan, and Ohio State.
All right, so I have them at 10-2, and I have those same two losses, but I have them beating Michigan. Or I have them beating Ohio State. Sorry. Because I think Micah Parsons, he was number one player, I think, 2 years ago. Phenomenal linebacker. He's going to be very good for them. And I think that Devin Ford and Noah Cain, they're like thunder and lightning, kind of. Ford is like kind of that fast running back, and Kane is like a Marshawn Lynch type back. They think Kane's from IMG Academy. They were both top 100 players in the country in the recruiting class. And I think Penn State can go run heavy. And whoever starts at quarterback should have an easy time for them. My biggest issue with them is that James Franklin, not a great in-game coach.
Yeah, I'm not a Franklin guy.
Like that one game, they would have beat Ohio State if they did not run a draw on 4th-and-5.
Yeah, that was very stupid.
Yeah, so that's my biggest problem with Penn State.
So let's jump back into the state of Michigan with Michigan State. Why don't you run us down what you got for Michigan State, John?
All right, so for Michigan State, I didn't really have much in terms of notes, although I did have, do you think they'll ever be good again? Like, a good team? Like, I mean, they made the college football playoffs, didn't they, a few years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, will they ever get back to that? Because it's looking pretty grim right now. Like,
I have a couple things down for them.
All right, well, you want to talk about this?
Yeah, Brad Salem got promoted to offensive coordinator this year. Kari Willis is a big loss of safety for them. They also lost a lot of they have a lot of draft eligible guys coming back on defense. So a lot of juniors for coming back. I mean, they had the number 7 class in the Big Ten, 4th in the East, so it's not like they recruited that great. So for them this year, I have them at 6-6. I have them losing to Arizona State, Northwestern, Ohio State, Wisconsin, Penn State, and Michigan.
All right, so I've been going through the schedules. Like, I'm looking at them right now for the first time. They beat Tulsa. They beat Western Michigan. They lose to Arizona State. They lose to Northwestern. They beat Indiana. They lose to Ohio State. They lose to Wisconsin. They lose to Penn State. They beat Illinois. They lose. I have them losing. Hold on. Let me count. Just give me 1 second. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Seven. I have them losing 8 games.
Yeah, I think originally I had them at 5-7.
I think they lose to Rutgers and Michigan State and to Maryland at the end of the season.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so. The game's at Rutgers. I think Rutgers is going to be a better team this year. And I think that after getting blown out by Wisconsin, Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan, they will be very demoralized, and they will not show up to the game against Rutgers, Maryland.
So, actually, now that we just talked about Maryland, let's move on into Maryland. I'll run down real quick. They got a whole new staff coming in.
Mike Loxley.
Mike Loxley from Bama. He brought with him Scott Montgomery from East Carolina, and John Hoke is coming back down from college from the Tampa Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing they have to fill is they lost Tavon Jacobs.
All right.
Also, the defense averaged 28.7 points a game last year, and that's, like, obviously very high.
Yeah.
But they actually, I think they moved it down from 8 points. So I think they were, like, 35 2 years ago. So they're moving in the right direction, but I still have them at 6-6 this upcoming year, but losses to Penn State, Minnesota, Michigan, Ohio State, Nebraska, and Indiana.
I will look. I think that adding Nick Cross makes them a much better secondary. He's a playmaker at safety, probably a future NFL guy if he pans out. Okay, so they obviously beat Howard. They lose to Syracuse. They beat Temple, lose to Penn State, lose to Rutgers, lose to Purdue, beat Indiana, beat Minnesota, and they lose to Michigan, lose to Ohio State, beat Michigan State, and lose to Nebraska. So I think that puts them at maybe 6-6, I think.
I had them 6-6. I feel like 6-6 is a pretty good record to have them at. Because, like, I had them losing that Minnesota game. You said they'd win.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't know. Something about Maryland, first year with Loxley, I think it's going to take a year for them to really hit that 8-win mark, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, this could be a team that wins 8 games, but it could be a team that wins 4 games. Like,
yeah.
They're one of those teams.
So, two more to go here. We'll start with Indiana. I'll run down. First thing I'll point out, they got Kalen DeBoer coming in from Fresno State. I think that's how you say his name. They're bringing back Stevie Scott at running back and Peyton Ramsey at quarterback. And they both had very, very good years last year. A very good defense is returning a lot of guys. They didn't recruit very well, but I still have them at 6-6 with losses to Ohio State, Michigan State, Maryland, Nebraska, Penn State, and Michigan.
All right, so I had Indiana with those same losses. But, Stevie Scott, after Morgan Ellison got dismissed from the team for sexual assault, he definitely stepped up, and he was a former Rutgers guy who – just quick tabbed about Rutgers here. If you look at the amount of decommits at running back that Rutgers has had, like, lately – it has been pretty not it's not a pretty sight.
Sick.
Barkley, Jonathan Taylor, Stevie Scott, like, it's not great.
Yeah, no. Rutgers, we'll get into that when we talk about Rutgers. You have anything else you want to add on Indiana?
No comment.
All right, so here we are, the Golden Boys of the Big Ten.
Best team in the Big, baby.
You want to start it?
I will start with this. I have Rutgers, and then you know the face palm emoji. That's my only note. So I have, like, just the knowledge in my head about this. I had to, like, really do research. But so I'll go to their schedule and then I'll talk about why, and then I'll let you go on your little tablets. All right, they beat UMass 1-0, lose to Iowa 1-1. They lose to Boston College at home, it's 2-1, 1-2. I mean, lose to Michigan 1-3, beat Maryland, so 2-3. They beat Indiana 3-3. They lose to Minnesota's a toss up. So it could be 4-3, it could be 3-4. They beat Liberty, which is a fake university, by the way, if anyone didn't know. They lose, they could beat or lose to Illinois, so that could be 5-5. Then they lose to Ohio State, they beat Michigan State, and they lose to Penn State. So I have Rutgers at 5-7. Because I think that Raheem Blackshear is gonna be big this year, especially with adding Aaron Young and Kayron Adams behind him. I think getting Drew Singleton, who is a few years ago the number one overall player in the state of New Jersey, who went to Michigan, transferred back, is going to be the middle linebacker this year. I think he's going to be big. And I think that Avery Young at corner with Trey Avery, and I think it's going to be a much better Rutgers team than people are expecting. The biggest problem is going to be the offensive line.
Let me tell you something. I hear you predicting the wins, losses, and I just picture myself last August looking at Rutgers' schedule from last year.
All right.
You got Kansas, you got Buffalo, Illinois. Last year, I actually, Texas State, I actually had Rutgers maybe squeaking into a bowl.
Uh-huh.
And then, obviously, as the season played out, it was a shit show. So, for me this year, I start off, they got a new DC coming in. But my notes start
new with offensive line
need better too. Quarterback play.
That's evident, yeah.
And then I think after that, I kind of realized, and I said, they need better everything play.
No, that's not really true, though. Like, I mean, their running backs were good last year. Like, Isaiah Pacheco, too, he was good. Like, their run game is good. Their defense, for what they're given, like, since they're on the field for the entire game, isn't bad.
Yeah. And they did better once Ash started taking over play calls.
Yeah, 100%. Because, I mean, I like what was the other – what was the defense coordinator's name? Forgot his name, but he was terrible. I think Andy Boo, since he's not calling plays, he's going to be more of a position coach.
Yeah, I didn't know how to say his last name.
Who, Andy Boo? For it.
Yeah, I have it on my notes. I didn't want to – I was going to say Buh.
Andy Boo, same thing. But I think he'll be – since he's not going to call plays and they'll give Ash the play calling, which Ash's defenses at Ohio State were phenomenal. I mean, obviously they were a little bit better –
talent.
Yeah, but I mean still.
But yeah, so I have them. You have them at like what?
6-5-7.
5-7. I have them at 2-10. UMass and Liberty only 2 wins. And dude, if I'm being completely honest, like the most Rutgers thing to do would lose one of those games.
Think so?
100%. That'd be such a Rutgers thing to do, is to lose. You know what the biggest Rutgers thing to do was last year?
What's up?
Lose to Kansas.
Oh yeah.
And then the following week, get obliterated by Buffalo.
They got blown out by Kansas too. It wasn't even like.
Yeah. Yeah. So listen, I have hope for this team every season. So maybe this year I don't have hope for them. They'll actually like surprise me. So that's my, I think, a reverse jinx.
I don't know. I think that they're better than – they're going to be – this is a better Rutgers team this year. Also, I think if they lose anything more – if they lose – if they don't win 4 games, I think Ash is gone. Just
– yeah, I think he's on like already on the hot seat.
Hot seat's an understatement. His seat is on fire in like – surrounded by lava in like 2,000-degree weather.
Yeah, he can't even sit on his seat. It's so hot. He doesn't even have a seat anymore, actually.
Oh, it melted?
The floor is...
Yeah, so I think that if he wins less than that, I don't think we... I don't think we see Chris Ash as the head coach anymore. But...
yeah, I don't think we get up here.
But, so God, you really think they go 2-10?
What?
You really think they go 2-10?
Yes.
Actually, I don't know.
I don't see 5 games. I don't see 5 wins on the schedule. I think Illinois is better.
Really?
I think Indiana's better because they're bringing a lot of guys back, a lot of quality guys back. Yeah,
but so is Rutgers. Rutgers is going to be a good team this year. Not a good team, but they're not going to be.
Indiana, Peyton Ramsey, who was actually like a serviceable. Bart Sitkowski threw 18 interceptions to 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, but the receivers don't help them. Like, if you look last year, like, I mean, I watched like most of the Rutgers games. The receivers do not get off the line of scrimmage. They do not, like, a lot of his picks were bad. Like, I'm not gonna lie.
Or a lot of them threw the same amount of pick sixes and he did touchdowns.
Yeah, but he's gonna get better. The team's better this year.
It can't get worse.
Yeah, you're right. But
so, I think that's everything we got for today. Next week we will do the Big Ten West, obviously. Like I said, I'm gonna do timestamps in the bottom. So if you want to fast forward and listen to Indiana and you don't want to listen to everyone else or so and so, feel free to do all that. Thanks again for tuning in, guys. We'll see you guys next week.